The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Moltec Technologies Limited Q2 FY24 results conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask the questions post the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Teresa John from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Sagar, and a warm welcome to all our participants to the Q2 FY24 earnings call of Moltec Technologies. At the outset, I'd like to apologize for the slight delay in starting the call. From the management, we have Mr. Lakshman Rao, Chairman and Managing Director of the company and also the finance team. Without further ado, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Lakshman Rao, after which we will open up the floor for Q&A. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. Sorry for the delay in starting the conference. There was some technical glitch. I'm glad to inform you that Moltec Technologies has delivered another set of good results for the Q2. Compared to previous Q2, the revenues are up by 15% and PAT up by 19%. In the H1 to H1, the numbers are very impressive, growth of 20% in revenue and profits are up by 45%. So again, as I said in the past, as we progress in the year, the accumulated jobs and invoicing will improve and the numbers will be improving as we go towards the end of the year. As usual, last two quarters, the company has recorded a sizable growth thanks to the new additions in the MES division. In mechanical, we have got a growth of almost 79% for the Q2 on Q2, and for the H1 on H1, it is 59% revenue growth. So this has significantly improved the profitability. And that's why the H1 profits are up by about 45%. There is a little stagnancy in civil revenues. And however, the profitability improved because of improved rates and increased revenues from the connection designing jobs. So having said that, I will leave the floor for question answers. And I will request the operator to put us on the question answers mode.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhi Jain from AJ Associates. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yeah.
So first of all, I would like to congratulate you that your EBITDA margins have improved for your consolidated financial statements. So as you had guided last quarter, the company is clearly working towards higher EBITDA margin and is achieving it. However, I have two questions. The first question that I have is, as you stated right now, that there is certain flattishness that you have observed in the civil construction segment. So what is your outlook for the balance year? And are you seeing any sort of a slowdown because of the, recessionary talks in US, because of which you're seeing this sluggishness in this quarter? Or is it just, an out-of-character quarter for the division and it is supposed to bounce back in the next two quarters? That was my first question, and once you answer that, I'll come to the second question.
Yeah. See, the order booking has improved in the last 2-3 months in civil compared to the previous quarter. There was some slowdown in the month of April to June in construction industry, if not which has directly impacted, but the number of inquiries and the number of order bookings have improved considerably in the last second quarter. And again, we have a healthy order book of more than 3.2 million for civil as of today, which was comparable with about 3 million last year this time. Coming to MES, that is where we actually achieving better growth in this year. We have much better order booking and also some orders of major size are about to be confirmed from Mexico and Europe. So thereby we still are positive on the growth from MES. Going forward, we may continue to have similar growth, which will handsomely contribute to the bottom line. Coming to the civil, it's not that there is any recessionary trends we notice in US because of state funding and the $3 trillion infra boost given by the present US government. Construction activity is still not affected by other recessionary trends in those in US especially. So I foresee that civil also will grow at least at around 10% for the overall year. Currently it is 3% growth in H1. But we hope it will pick up given the recent improvement in the order booking and probably close to 10% overall growth. MES on the other side is at 59% growth in H1 to H1, and we hope at least the similar trend will continue in the remaining two quarters. Thereby the company can achieve our projected top line growth of 20%, which is now currently at around what is the top line growth in H1 is 20.6. So easily we may achieve, we may target around 25% top line growth, and having already achieved 44% PAT growth, a similar trend of 40 to 50% bottom line growth can still be continued in the coming quarters. So overall there will be considerable growth in the performance thanks to MES, which was a laggard till 2022. I started performing and adding more clients quarter on quarter.
That's very encouraging, sir. I have just a follow-up question, and I just wanted to understand the business better. So, you know, based on whatever I've heard and whatever I read through their annual reports, one key advantage that Moltec enjoys is the, you know, low employee cost base because of, you know, having an employee cost base out of India and the model of having a hybrid kind of a structure, where you're servicing, and the distinguishing factor between you and your other US counterparts is that your employee cost is considerably lower as compared to your US counterparts, which gives you a benefit in terms of the cost advantage. But I was, and I would like to congratulate you on the award that you have just won for the stadium that you have built. So congratulations on that. But I was just going through that award list, and I saw another competitor of yours which has a very similar business model. The name, I think, is Ovation Services LLC, and I think the founder is probably, he was an ex-employee of Moltec. So I just want to understand that it clearly seems that there are other more players who are employing a similar business model. So in terms of the competitive advantage that you have, do you think that it still holds good, or do you think that, you know, there are other players that are coming up because of which, you know, this cost advantage is something that will not be a long runway success for Moltec, and you know, and the acquisition that you're planning, that might be a better way to improve your business performance going forward?
Yeah, there are many players already there, not today. For last several years we have been having many competitors in the field, but as our unique model and our quality systems, which are much stronger, and being there in this field for more than now, I would say 14, 15 years in the high-rise building steel construction, we have achieved, received the confidence of our clients. That's very important in this engineering field, because in construction activity, detailing or designing contribute hardly 2 to 4% of the overall cost of a structure. So nobody takes a chance of cost arbitrage in such a small percentile of the overall cost by jeopardizing their own infrastructure. So credentials of the detailing company or a designing company are very, very essential. That is where we have proven our track record in the last 12-13 years, and that will be very difficult to achieve for upcoming companies unless they also prove themselves, which would take much longer time. And as you correctly said, moving forward, our idea is to go through connection design and member design, that is structural designing, either through acquisition or through our own efforts. Our own efforts would take longer time, so we are more inclined towards acquisition. We are in talks with a couple of them, but we need to find out a correct fit of people who would join us and take the company plans forward. So going forward, there will be a decent growth like what we did last this quarter, this year, like at 15 to 20% top line growth and 30-35% bottom line growth. But this can be accelerated if we go through the route of acquisition, especially in the field of structural designing. So that is one area we are still looking for that could really accelerate if it happens whenever it is.
So just to sum it up, just last question, that do you think that is there a good possibility of our targeted acquisition happening in this financial year, or it's still too preliminary?
It is possible because we have been talking, and now we have entered through some other way of reaching probable companies who are willing to either join us as a JV or even a merger. Earlier we were looking only at mergers of 100% acquisition, but now we are open even to have a minority stake for our partners, because having them on the long run with us is more important and more sustainable, because these firms are also over a period of time established their credentials in US, and that credentials we lose if we lose the partners. So we are now open to even consider joint ventures or even partial holding for the new partners. So that way we hope to improve the proposals and probable striking a deal probably in this current financial year.
Thank you, sir, and all the best for your future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question, and thanks for doing this call on a quarterly basis. It helps us understand your business in better. So my first question is on your civil part, right? I mean, so you're saying that you're expecting a 10% growth, and obviously margins will improve. But given the size of the market and the size of the outsourcing industry, right, and the tailwinds which are there in terms of construction, you are saying that there is no recessionary kind of trend that has been seen. Don't you think this is a bit lower number, right? Because you're getting into more and more larger projects, you have won awards as well, and you're getting into connection part of it as well, right? So is 10% the number that we should look for in a medium term, irrespective of the acquisition that we make or not? I mean, you know, if we don't make an acquisition, would this be a 10% kind of a segment? Is that a right assumption to make? Or, it would be growing higher than 10%.
Yeah, as you said, though there is no major recessionary trend, there is definitely a slowdown in the general activity in US in construction industry, especially in commercial and high-rise buildings arena. Infrastructure-wise, they may be spending more on roads and other infrastructure. But coming to the buildings, it is again a mostly private sector investments, which are basically if not recession, they are at a slowdown. However, in spite of the slowdown, why we are anticipating 10% growth is our ability to convert more new clients rather than our own clients growing. So that way, there is a huge gap in civil where we can even try to expand larger percentile, like say 10 to 20%. But given the slowdown and the current pace at which the high-rise buildings and infrastructure projects in construction side are happening, this is a reasonably good performance. But to reach more than 10% and try to aim at 20-25%, what we require is other areas like precast concrete, wherein we have just started a small team recently, and we are finding some good inquiries coming in that way. So probably the efforts what we put in this year can help us improve the precast numbers in the next financial year. irrespective of acquisition or not, that itself can make the 10% to probably up to 15%, assuming the economy remains same in US. But adding new lines like precast and enhancing our connection design projects can take us to the higher orbit, but not beyond 15 to 20% mark until we make an acquisition. Once we make the acquisition, that number can be sizably up, something like 30, 40, 50% is also possible, because the structural designing as it is has a much higher arbitrage, because Indian designers are available at much lower price than structural designers in US. And obviously, though you need stamping by professional engineers of Indian US origin, the basic 80% of the work, other than checking and stamping, can be outsourced from India. So that is when we can see a big leap in numbers that can come in the civil division.
So that's very clear. Thanks a lot. And on this, let me ask you a question on this acquisition, right? So you are looking at acquisition into architectural and structural design segment, if I'm not wrong. So what percentage of overall construction cost would architectural and structural design constitute? And in terms of you last on the last call mentioned that you have two engineers who basically signed the design, right, part of it. Would they be able to give a go-ahead on the structural and architectural design as well? So just wanted to understand how is our synergy with the existing team that we already have in these two segments that we aspire to get into?
No, actually we have more than 15 engineers who are capable of handling structural designing given an opportunity. What I mentioned, two people are, they are professional engineers, certified professional engineers of American standards. So they have been educated and they got the they cleared the exams and standards that are required for to be a professional engineer in USA, and they worked in US and joined us. So those two people head a team of 15 people now, who are mainly doing connection design and a very little bit of member design. Unless you have a presence in US, getting a member design or structural design project is very difficult. But the team is ready in place, about 15 people. So even if you make an acquisition of same size in US, we can immediately ramp up this team and enhance the activities of our future partner. So that way we are ready. What is required is to find the correct partner. If you ask me why we taking time, is we don't want a partner who want to retire. There are many firms which are ready where the promoters or the key people want to retire and thereby sell off their practice. But that won't help much because the credentials of the partners and their deep experience is what matters in structural design. Like as I explained in why it took long for us to come to a level of credible service provider is because we spent more than 10-12 years building up our reputation with proven track record, with many buildings to mention as our proof of the our competence, and several awards. Like this year also we got an award of Customer Choice Award of 2023 for our Solid Steel Customer Choice Award, which is a well-noted award in US for a Gillette Stadium North End Zone project. So like this, our awards are happening more frequently of late, which build up our credentials. Similarly, if we let go the promoters after acquisition, it doesn't add to our credentials, and rather people start doubting our firm's ability to continue providing quality designing. So when we acquire a designing company, we want to see for promoters who will stand with us and work at least 5 to 10 years, so that you know the company will make use of their credentials and work they have done. So that is why there is some delay in finding a correct partner. But now we are in talks with a couple of them, and let's see how it happens.
So best of luck for that. So just if you can answer the question as to what percentage of overall construction cost would architectural and structural design constitute, and when we are going and meeting these partners, what is it that we are offering apart from obviously equity part, but do we offer something in terms of scalability, which will also, excite them to partner with us, right? So what is it that we bring on table when we are going and meeting these partners whom we want to either do JV with or acquire?
Yeah, let me answer your first part. The overall cost of architecture and designing will be typically 4 to 5%, including detailing. So architectural and structural detailing itself would be more than 2 to 3%, while detailing may be around 2%. Because of the value addition, the quantum of hours that you spend in architectural and structural design are much less, though they contribute as much as detailing. So that's where your hourly rates are more than double, I would say, in structural and architectural services. Hence, the margins can improve considerably. Coming to your second question, what we bring to the table for our JV partners is, you yourself answered, one is scalability. They can expand their business with the rapid addition of manpower coming from Indian structural designing background. Because the difference between structural design in US and India is only two parameters. One is we follow Indian standard law and they have American law. And their earthquake and other standards of construction differ from our standards. So that difference is not a great rocket science for our engineers to adopt. In few months, they can easily catch up. The second thing is the stamping. The professional engineer stamping is a must for every building that comes up in USA, be it a small two-storied building or even a 100-story high-rise building. And the PEs have to have board certification, and they have to revise their board certification periodically and maintain high insurance cover for all, if any, defects in their design. So that PE stamping is one thing which makes structural designing a difficult area to enter for many small players. Having said that, we have enough coverage of insurance, and when we acquire a company, they will also must be having enough cover, professional insurance that will safeguard the any structural designer's work. So what we bring to the table for them is our ability to scale up very rapidly. And more than that, everybody knows the cost arbitrage. The cost of architectural or structural designing engineers in US is not less than $100 an hour, anywhere $100 to $200 an hour, depending upon the complexity. Whereas in India, even at $30 to $40, we'll be making excellent profits in spite of providing good engineering support. And our with the PEs who are already working in our company in Hyderabad, they themselves are capable of doing structural design by themselves. Even stamping they can. But you have to have an American presence and ability to visit the site at least once or twice during the construction. That is very essential for the general contractors to believe and offer bigger projects. So that's what we get from our front-end partner in USA, and also his credentials over a period of time which he would have built. So what we bring to them is scalability and of course cost arbitrage in a very big way, and of course capital enhancement once they are with us in terms of as a equity partners, they will also certainly gain capital appreciation.
Thank you, Mr. Rao, for answering this question. Very clear. I'll come back in the queue. And all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Naman Chandak from... Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yes, yes.
Actually, I wanted to know what kind of TAM is in TAM we operate for civil and mechanical services.
Sorry, what
total
kind
addressable
of?
Market. Total addressable market.
Okay, total addressable market in civil and mechanical is a big ocean. See, actually, in mechanical, there are much bigger players like Cyient and Quest and even Mahindra's. Because mechanical has multiple areas. Automobile is a very small part of entire mechanical engineering. You have product development, product design, you have SPMs, you have plant engineering, you have marine, you have aerospace, you have travel, trains and buses. Like that, the hundreds of applications in MES, we are hardly in automobile, that too in the field of BAW, and now we are getting into press tools, we are getting into surfacing, we are planning to enter into interiors and exteriors, mainly focusing around automobile, but there are opportunities everywhere. We also have a team of poles and towers, we have a team working on telecom, we have a small team working in telecom, and we also have a small team in SPM, special purpose machines. So like that in MES, it's humongous. I can't even imagine that will be more than $100 billion market available for people to grab. And then coming to civil in US, it is not less than $8 to $10 billion opportunity, and of which half of it or 20% of it may be currently being outsourced all across the globe, but majority of it is still done in the US soil itself, because basically, though detailing is a low cost, 2% cost of the building, that contribution of detailer is very, very crucial for a proper erection of the building, because any errors or any misunderstandings in drawings can lead to a lot of erection problems and stoppage of work in the field, which can be very expensive for them. So they still believe that the American detailers can provide a better job. And obviously it's true because of their long association and long experience. But now firms like Moltec, which have crossed 10 years of such experience, having project managers stationed in US, is also able to match the quality at a much competitive price. So more and more work would be ultimately outsourced to US, India and other cheaper resource countries. So that way, in my opinion, it's more than $5 to $10 billion opportunity available. Maybe probably about $500 million all across the globe is now currently being outsourced. From India also, I guess the work going on must be in the close to $40 to $50 million, of which we constitute around 12-13 million. But that is going to go up as more and more credentials and more belief is set on Indian engineering work, especially in civil.
Okay, and can we have a solid margin profile? So what are the, major factors? Do we have some kind of moat or, what are the reasons behind such a good margin profile?
See, the good margin profile is because of the niche area. The not only civil side, we are in a niche area, but even in the BAW, we are into simulation, we are into high-end 3D designing, which very few firms are offering. So, and having said that, one more restriction, maybe the question could be why we are not growing very rapidly. We are going good, but not rapidly because of the manpower shortage in this field. Because being a niche area, we have very few simulation engineers in the country who are good at their work and who have exposure in BAW. And that is the starting point. After simulation comes designing and drafting and other things. So unless the simulation population increases, we cannot handle more and more projects. So that is one of the reasons why we are aiming happy to be growing at 10-20% till last year. But having now got the credentials in MES, currently we are seeing a growth of 50% plus. This hopefully will continue for a few more years. And by then, we wish to enter ourselves into other fields like press tools, interior, exterior, and other fields of automobile, special purpose machines, and other areas, so that we sustain the growth of 50-60% coming from MES numbers, which is a very low base. So going forward is an exciting time. We are all looking forward to enter a high growth phase in MES. With not only just expanding in the current BAW, but diversifying into other fields as well.
Okay, so currently we are projecting a very great growth target. So how sustainable do you see? As we have a low base right now, so on a longer run, how sustainable? What would be a more sustainable growth approach for the company?
Yeah. Having a very small base is an advantage for the numbers to be impressive, but by expanding our areas into other domains in mechanical, and in the same domain of structural construction, if we take over architectural and structural designing firms and build up our JVs with correct partners, we will be able to continue this kind of a growth for quite some time. So we are looking at that kind of a business plan.
Okay, thank you. I wish you the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Kenneth Mendonca from Tamohara Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. I had a few questions. First was for the Gillette Stadium project. Were we the single supplier to that project?
Yeah, we are the single detailing company for them.
Okay, sure, sir. And regarding, in our press release, we mentioned we've done some expansion in the connection and member design capabilities. Could you qualify that?
Yeah, expanding means we have a team of 15 to say 18 people now, which were hardly 5-6 last year. So our connection design team, which is also capable of handling member designing, is now currently stands around 18, maybe 20, close to 20.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you for that. And lastly, on the in the mechanical division, which we mentioned again in the press release, how do we differentiate between pipeline and work in hand?
See, work in hand is something which we already grabbed and orders are on hand. Pipeline means where we are about to finalize or negotiate and close the deals.
Sure, sir. And how do we look at this in terms of pipeline growing compared to last year versus this year, and going ahead, what the outlook is?
Yeah, we have several major projects where we have bid and we are in negotiations with our clients. You see, in this, not only the price, they negotiate time frames when we can deliver, and they will have phased manner of delivery, which we can meet or not. Is what takes some time to discuss. Even after awarding a project, that process goes on, because whatever inputs we give, that is the basis for them to build the robots and conduct the simulation beforehand itself to see any clashing is happening while the robots are operating in the field. So they, until our simulation input goes to them, they can't take the next step forward, because they'll be simultaneously procuring the robots or modifying the robots to match to the design. So it is a hand-in-glove kind of a work with the assembly line manufacturers of BAW, so which is more involved. And as we do few jobs, more and more comfort comes in the minds of the clients, and more stickiness comes. For example, this FFT Mexico, we started 3 years ago as a very small vendor. Though they do a lot of work for their American clients, the work is executed through their Mexican office. So we started very small with very competitive prices 3 years ago, and today we are doing at least 5 to 7x of what we are doing at that time. And similar relations we are slowly building up with some companies in Europe, like VDL and other companies. And those relations are at somewhat maturing stage. Once those matured relations build up, the tier one suppliers, some of them are tier one, they not only believe in our abilities in BAW, they will even offer us other areas of domains like press tools and interior, exterior, and you know, other areas where if they are active. So this relations to come to a level of tier one, it took us almost 7-8 years in mechanical. So today I am more confident of growth, because this will lead to our penetration into other related fields, which you know, over a period of the credential building, is help us to diversify into other fields, related fields also, other than just BAW.
Sure, sir. And lastly, to add, just to understand, within mechanical, how would non-auto have grown for the same quarter and first half?
Non-auto is not very significant. It is less than $500,000 last year, and this year it is around 700K we are projecting, or 800K, less than $1 million, which is a good growth, because even in poles and towers, we are having good traction, because thanks to the infrastructure drive in US,
the roadways and electrical modernization, all require poles and towers. So that is where we are seeing a big jump. Though this number is very small, the growth is considerable in that front also.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on CES. The previous quarter, when you had come on the call, you had guided to 20-25% growth for FY24. And now we are guiding to 10%. So that's a very sharp cut in just 3 months. Can you just take us through what has changed in 3 months?
What are you saying, Pulkit?
You had guided to 20-25% growth in the civil division for FY24. Previous quarter, on the previous quarter con call, now we are guiding to 10% growth. So that's a sharp cut in the growth guidance. I'm just wondering what has changed in the last 3 months for the same.
Actually, in Q2, we grew by about 15%.
I'm talking about the civil division.
Q2 to Q2.
No, I'm talking about the growth guidance that you've given for the full year, FY24.
Mm-hmm.
Civil division growth guidance you've given to be 10% right now.
Mm-hmm.
Last quarter when you had come
in Q2, you mean?
FY24, so full year.
Yeah, for the full year, currently in H1 we are at 20% top line growth, and for the Q2 on Q2 it is 15%.
So for the civil division.
Not civil. Overall,
CES. Yeah. CES. I'm talking about CES.
Oh, when CES. Okay.
For CES, you have given a 10% YOY growth guidance for the year.
Yeah.
But the previous call...
For H1.
Yes. Yes, but when we had met in the previous conference call, you had guided to 20-25% growth for CES for this year. So there's a sharp cut in the growth guidance for CES in this last 3 months.
I might have made a wrong number in my mind. Is the overall... For the entire company, we are looking at 20-25% revenue growth. In CES, we were aiming at around 10-12%. And in MES, we are looking at 40-60%, which is we are currently at 59%. So because of MES being of smaller number, overall growth of 20% is what we insist.
So 20-25% is in rupee terms for the full year.
Our overall revenue growth is our target.
Right. But even to achieve 20-25%, your current quarterly revenues was around $4.8 million for 2Q.
Yeah.
This has to easily go to $5.5-6 million for you to achieve your target. Is that the kind of order book you are seeing already?
Yeah, we are aiming at similar what you said, we are aiming at for the third and fourth quarter. Because typically the projects build up and accumulate as we progress in the year. Third quarter for us is fourth quarter for US. So there will be more project deliveries, deliverables, mostly in the third quarter. And whatever spillage goes into Jan-Feb contribute to our first quarter, our fourth quarter. So that way, third and fourth quarter are typically good for us. So we anticipate better growth there.
Okay. And few data points, if you could share, what is the order book for MES division right now, and what was the CES division revenues for 2Q in terms of dollar million?
Q2 revenues of MES are 1.6, yeah, 1.62 million as against 1 million last year. That's about 60% growth. And Q2 it is 1.1. I given the H1 numbers. Q2 it is 1.1 against 0.52 last year. So about 100% growth.
And the order book currently for MES?
Currently order book is more than 700K, which was nominal 6 months, a year ago.
Right, but the order book in MES has come down quite significantly. I mean, it used to be $1.3-1.4 million. 3 quarters ago, last quarter it was 1.1, and now you are saying
third and fourth quarter, this generally sharply goes up. If you notice, last year first quarter beginning, our order book value is pretty low.
Yes.
Now currently it is 700K, which is a big jump actually, because of a low base. But new projects which are now coming would be executed before December. So that's where we'll have not only complete a decent revenue, but also we'll have a good order book in general. Last year, as on 1st December, we had 0.92 million order book. But as on 1st September, it is negligible amount. So typically, deliverables and even orders start flowing from August, September onwards.
Okay, so the RFQs that you're kind of, you know, applying for, or I mean, what is the size of the orders? Any sense of how big are the orders that you're kind of trying for?
Nobody goes for committing more than 300 to 400K order every quarter, because they deliver, unless we deliver the first tranche, they won't generally release the second tranche because of fear of their production itself getting affected. So generally, as we progress into the year, the order release will also increase. For example, in this month, in the remaining few weeks, I mean, in the month of November, we are anticipating quite a bit of new order confirmations, which need to be delivered before December or even Jan-Feb. Typically, the order books in MES, especially in BAW, picks up from the second quarter.
Okay, and how is the, lastly, how is the pricing environment?
How is the what?
Pricing environment for these orders.
Pricing environment has improved because of our credentials have improved. We are in a position to ask for better rates from our old clients. They are willing to give us a little premium now because of our quality is now established. Our systems have been audited by them. Recently, a couple of clients have visited us in the last 2 months, and they are very much impressed with our quality procedures and training abilities. So they are now able to take a bigger calls on us.
Understood. Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhi Jain from AJ Associates. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I think my question has been answered. I just wanted the split between MES and BES revenue for Q2 FY24. So I think that has been answered. So broadly, 30-31 crores has been done by CES, and broadly 9 crores has been done by MES, right? In quarter two.
Yeah, yeah.
So for the next quarter, we are looking at the 10% growth that we are looking at. So the 10%, because last year Q2 MES was hardly, you know, it hardly contributed anything to the top line, and it was majorly CES. So we are looking at close about 35-odd crores from CES division, and MES would be close to about 12-13-odd crores. Is that a fair understanding, or is it too early to comment on that?
Yes, we are looking at MES hitting at least 1.5 million in this quarter, if as per our plans.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you so much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, all the participants, for the interest you have shown in our company and its operation. And I take this opportunity to wish you all a very happy Diwali and a new year. And let there be good health and happiness and prosperity in all your lives. Thank you very much, Nirmal, for this opportunity.
Thank you. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.